Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In our public lectures, we often tell the story of Maharaj Puranjana, who got enchanted by his material mind and intellect in the form of a beautiful woman.
Na naših javnih predavanjih često govorimo o zgodbi o kralju Puranjani, ki je se navezal na to, da se zapletel s svojim umom in intelektom, razumno, v obliki lepe ženske.
Yes. And we describe a little bit how material life looks like by describing the analogy of Puranjana. And this, how would you say, this analogy is very, very nice because it describes gives a perfect description of material life, which the audience, after all, is fully accustomed to. However, when we in the circle of devotees hear this description, we have to understand that this is not our own situation. It is not correct to say that Vaishnava women or Vaishnava men act exactly like Puranjana in relationship to his king. At the same time, it helps to hear such descriptions because we become informed of our shadow nature. Which we have left behind. A devotee must remember sometimes from what fallen condition he came. To become fully determined to leave it behind. If he loses track of analytical and sometimes even harsh or better distanced standpoint towards the material reality, then he might be caught up again by the same things he gave up. No, if you forget totally from where you are coming, your material background. You might again become caught up by it because you are just simply too careless. And this brings us exactly to today's subject matter. Today I want to describe the different phases through which a new devotee goes on his way to Shuddha Bhakti, or pure devotional service. Today I will describe a life of struggle. But it will have a very positive ending. As we described yesterday, the devotee has to to advance from unsteady devotional service to steady devotional service. Unsteady devotional service is that you sometimes are enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness, but at other times not so. There are exactly six symptoms of the unsteady devotee, and by hearing it we will benefit greatly. The first state is called Utsaha Mayi, which means a type of false confidence or enthusiasm. And the example has been given of a Brahmana boy who has just been given his first book. Now he is very enthusiastic. He thinks, I am very learned. See, I also have a book. He is not so much interested in the contents of the book because he can barely read the first three letters of the alphabet. In other words, his enthusiasm is not really real. It is dependent on externals. Like I remember when I was a new devotee, when I finally got my first dhoti, I was just so happy. I thought, now I'm practically a sannyasi. I'm a great monk now, look, my dhoti. And I became very puffed up. I'm sorry, I'm just as a fallen, you know, but can, but this, I wanted to say this because see, sometimes devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness, they regret, they look back at the past. In the beginning they say, I was so enthusiastic, but now, look at me, I'm like an old slouch. Slone, yes. And they question themselves, is the process of Krishna consciousness really working in my own life? But this first initial enthusiasm of someone who just starts with the process of bhakti is called utsahamayi, or false enthusiasm. Then, in the beginning devotee, who is not yet steady, the second symptom appears, which is gana tarala, or sporadic endeavor. He may say, no more material jivat. I will chant 64 rounds every day. And he rises at 15 minutes past 1 o'clock. And only one time a day eating. In other words, he gets very intense. He may even distribute 50 books a day. But then, just like the intensity came, it goes also. And, you know, the next day you might find him sleeping in the bed up till 11 o'clock. And, you know, becoming slack in devotional practices. Sometimes we see this unfortunate, we see the symptom of unsteadiness even in devotees who get initiated. Before initiation, they just work so hard to become initiated. And then the when the initiation comes, after the initiation, they say, and they become slack. Gana tarala means sometimes they become devotional service is thick, thick. And sometimes very thin. It is not steady, in other words, it's changing. Now, the new devotee usually also comes into a severe conflict. Which rages like a battle in his heart. He asked himself, shall I spend my life happily in family life? Making my wife and children fully Krishna conscious? Or my mush, fully Krishna conscious? Why is it muja and not mush? Sometimes you say mush, so it's so confusing. It has to do with the grammatical problem. Anyways, or should I just give everything up immediately? Marriage is Maya. Become serious, strong, go to Vrindavan. Then he goes like, but Dhruva Maharaj and Yudhishthira, they were grihasthas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 11 children, and one was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in India they think, my parents are now a little elderly and they need my support. And after all, bhakti, vairagya is not the main thing. But then, at the same time, he begins to think, it's so entangling in grihastha life. Look at the Krishna conscious grihasthas. Even they are not, they sometimes say it's hard, they would rather be like to be alone. Marriage life in ISKCON, it's a difficult subject. And so he is going between these extremes. Yoda Vikalpa, which means indecision. He cannot make up his mind. You are laughing now. Because you are all very young devotees, you know, not all, but most of you are very young devotees. But this indecision can be a hard struggle. Sometimes devotees in this faith lose even the taste in Krishna conscious practice. They run to an astrologer who has little or no knowledge of bhakti. Tell me clearly, should I marry or not? And the astrologer will of course say, yes, marry. Because in material life, that's the most natural thing to do. Unless you belong to the statistical figure of 0.0.35% of bachelors. Yes, bachelors. And even the bachelors in the material life, they have all kinds of, they don't have, to be a bachelor is not identical with the brahmachari ashram, by no means. Yes. Now, let us move on. Is it too heavy, or do you derive some benefit hearing this? Is it interesting? Does it have to do with your life, or is it totally irrelevant? In Germany, I'm known as a heavy preacher. So okay, now the next thing is Vishaya Sangara. This means struggle with the senses. We know that in order to live a spiritual life, we have to strictly go the spiritual path. We know that if you want to go to the east, you cannot take a route which leads you to the west. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness and sense gratification is diametrically opposed to each other. We say, oh, you know, Krishna consciousness is so nice also for the senses. But the only thing which is nice for materialist senses is prasadam. The rest, you know, taking a shower. I mean, in the winter now, you all had a cold shower today. That's not very nice. And then to sleep on the floor. Whew, there is only the only shelter seems to be the Izomate. You know, that in Slovenia. And then, oh, Sankirtan. Oh, that's very difficult for the senses. Therefore, you often see that in the life of a young devotee, his bodily weight drastically increases when he joins the movement, because it's the only thing he still has in the life of prasadam, you know, the life of the senses. Sometimes this gets so strong, you know, this fight with the senses, he loses the fight with the senses, and he smears his face all over with chocolate in the endeavor to eat, to have some sense gratification. The child? No, the young devotee. Chocolate. Chocolatsky.
Vážne časy, ktoré sa
Yes, there was one devotee, his name is Hayagriva, who, you know, he could keep all the regulative principles provided Prabhupada allowed him to take chocolate. Not the Hayagriva from Germany. You don't know the Hayagriva I'm talking about. In other words, on the new platform of devotional service or anicca, the devotee is in a fight with his material senses. He sometimes resolves, no, I will now take full shelter in the holy name. I must lose my material addictions. I cannot hear my Rolling Stones music any longer. And I cannot simply allow that I always eat too much on Sunday feast, you know. I must take shelter in the holy name, otherwise there's no chance for me. But often his attempts to renounce end in enjoying exactly what he attempts to renounce. So this ongoing battle is something which goes on first in the mind, should I or should I not? And then it goes on in the body. Our friends of Lord Krishna also know this battle very well. Krishna, please, Krishna has understanding for a devotee who battles like this. He has full sympathy. He therefore speaks to Uddhava the following verse. Having awakened faith in topics about me, my devotee is disgusted with all material activities. Knowing that sense gratification leads to misery. Still, though he tries, he is unable to give up his material desires. And sometimes engages in the same sense enjoyment that brings only misery. But repenting such activities, he should worship me with love, faith, and firm conviction. Yes. So, then the fifth stage of this unsteady devotional service. The devotee becomes just fried. From today I will chant such and such numbers of rounds. And I will pay every devotee my obeisances. I must become humble and perform a lot of devotional service. I will not talk about anything else than Krishna. No prajata any longer. But he is not always able to carry this out. So, you know, we had this already in the beginning. That sometimes his endeavor is very thick and then very thin. But here the and he is actually unable to give up sense enjoyment. But here Niyamakshaka, this fifth stage, refers to something else. It refers to the seemingly inability to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And now comes the six symptoms, and then we are over. Then we can again breathe normally. This is a very heavy one.
Tejek.
It is Taranga Rangini. It means to swim in the ocean of material pleasures. See, when you perform devotional service, you become attractive to many people. And they, when they see you, they sing Jaya Sachinandana Gaurani. In other words, you get worship. And fame. Not only as a guru. Yesterday, everyone was applauding wildly to Avadhuta singing and Ramani singing. Oh, you sing so nice. Practically like an angel. And, you know, the devotee might, it might go into his head and he might become bewildered. I mean, in Slovenia, it's not that when you go with a dhoti on the road, that everyone will just, you know, bring flowers and, you know, some are just totally nasty, isn't it, some people? They criticize us. Oh, you do not have two jobs. You are not like a total asna. Who works hard, you know. This means you are in total maya. So it's this is good for us. If the devotee, but in India, you know, when you go, they immediately go, oh, don't you want to marry my daughter? You are just a demigod from the Western world. But also in the assembly of the devotees, when we do good on Sankirtan, everyone goes like, bravo, bravo, you know. Or someone might think, oh, when I was in the Haribol club, you know, outside of the temple, I was suffering so much. But now I'm in the temple. I get 3 meals a day, and if I want, also 4. My immediate, you know, material poverty has been solved successfully. Yes, some stay in the temple because they are just too lazy to work. In Heidelberg we had, you know, when it was winter time, some of these Venus, they are called in Germany, that means these bums, they just moved in the temple and said, we are totally serious for spiritual life. In the summertime we always saw the Harinam parties and our heart got totally softened and purified. And now it's cold winter time and we are very serious to stay in the temple. But he said you have to raise at 15 minutes before 4 o'clock latest. Because only someone who comes to the Mangal Arati is allowed to stay in the temple. No problem, we like to get up early. You know, after you would only see him during Pasala time, the rest of the time just, you know, being on the mentality niveau, sitting somewhere and talking with the other bump. And looking sadly at the cold weather, praying, when will it become warm and I can get out of here? So to enjoy the facilities which devotional service give, that also is a sign of unsteady devotional service. Now I want to ask you a question. What do you think is a solution? How can someone who has these six symptoms come to the platform of steady devotional service? Sorry? He must become serious. He's grinning. But you know, the one that we were describing, it's not that an unsteady devotional service is not serious. He wants to become Krishna conscious. He has already made advancement. First he had Shraddha, that means faith. And then he started to engage in devotional service, that means Vajana Kriya. On that state, sometimes he was also initiated. I think you are very, very strict today by saying he is unserious. You are a little bit too heavy. He wants, but he's somehow it doesn't just, you know. Maybe he's not serious enough.
Yes.
He should just go on.
On naj gre samo naprej.
He has been going on since a long time. When does he ever get somewhere? I actually saw many people confess this. Pray to Krishna and the spiritual master. This is Nandi Murti's formula. Japa reform. This is. Well, he's been trying also. Madam.
He needs Krishna's grace.
Yes. I mean, everything you say, also the first answer was very good. But it is an interesting subject matter.
To je vse, kar pravite, je dobro. Celo prvi odgovor, ampak to je zelo zanimiva tema.
No, sorry, I saw this devotee first. What is your name?
Nicola.
Nicola, yes, please. He has to work heavy. Translate or do something, huh? And have patience.
Yeah.
Is that all you can say him? Is there not more hope? I thought we had a hopeful movement. You only can say, we just go on, work hard, be as green, and so on. Come on, have me and be lost. Moksha Rupi, yes, me lost.
Yeah, what?
Yes. Thank you. Your answers were all very good, but believe me, I'm in this movement for 20 years, and I have given all your answers, but they don't satisfy a devotee who comes.
Verjemite mi, jaz sem že 20 let v gibanju in vse ti vaše odgovori, če pa so zelo dobri, ne more zadovoljiti vas.
When I preach like you, they leave the room, yeah, you've heard this answer before.
Pridigam na ta način in potem oni obidejo sobe, potem se mislijo, to sem že prej slišal.
I want to end my lecture this morning with a question to all of you, which you can think over, so that tomorrow, when we come to the next lecture, in this we can all, you know, have thought deeply about the subject.
No, sedaj bi želel končati svoje predavanje z vprašanjem, ko da vsi lahko razmislite, da vam ste bili
See, the unsteady devotee, he wants to serve Krishna, but he finds himself sometimes unable. What is it? What keeps him in this helpless condition? Or, let us put it even differently. When is a person enthusiastic and can do everything very nicely? One answer would be when he is in love. He is ready to jump over 2 meter high obstacles. How do you say this?
The bouquet, yes. So the one you want the flowers to go to, you must have it. I think Ramani would know. Yes. How is it called? Floyd?
Euroflora.
Gibt's auch in Slovenia? Euroflora. Sounds, yes?
Euroflora, ki naročite svetje šapek po telefonu, potem one vnese vaše ljubim besede.
You know what this is? Now this man drives the whole day with these flower bouquets and he thinks, I hope soon, you know, I can get free from this. And eat and look at TV. So much strongest, you know, he counts the minutes. But then in the evening, you see him after his free time with a bouquet driving through the town. He's totally enthusiastic. He drives double speed. He's not afraid of the police when he drives. The signal is red, you know, when he drives over. No
problem.
And he sings happily songs.
I'm so much admired.
And he drives his girlfriend to deliver her some flowers. And he just throws it before the door and wildly honks his horn. And then he drives away. And he just laughs and is happy, you know. And then in the morning he calls him, you know, you have three guesses who threw the flowers before your door. I'm so much
admired.
You know, in other words, when he is in, when the fire of desire is raging in his heart, it's very easy for him. To do the same thing which was very difficult. So, when we want to serve Krishna, we have some lubav has to come. Lubav, right? Lubav, yes. What? Lubazen. Some lubazen has to come. Yes. Then it's very easy. And tomorrow we will discuss why this love is not coming and how it can come. Tomorrow we give the, you will hear the answer for your life. Tomorrow at around 9 o'clock you won't be the same person any longer. I'm making it a little, you know, little interesting. My desire is, I mean, I could go through these points just very brizzle and very technical. And but I don't do it because I want to make the point that this is something very serious actually. We have to come to the platform of steady devotional service. And we must go through the wall of this unsteadiness. Somehow or other. The Bhagavatam is full with stories of devotees who successfully attained Krishna's grace.
Bhagavatam poem is God or Artha is auspicious to be Krishna milost.
Yeah, our friend has said how one must attain the mercy of Krishna. Very nice answer actually. Because you can endeavor only so much, and then, I mean, you're dependent on the mercy of Krishna to actually come to Him. We look at Dhruva Maharaj, for instance. He was full with material motives when he became interested in Krishna. He wanted a kingdom from him greater than the kingdom even of his own grandfather. And when Narada Muni told him, he met him in the Shumi, when he told him, you know, this is not the right, you know, right attitude. He told Narada Muni, if you can help me get this kingdom, dobrodošli. But if you cannot, go.
In on je dejal na Radimonijo, če mi lahko pa veš, kako da biti blizu do tega kraljestva, potem si dobrodošel. Če pa ne, potem pa lahko vidiš.
He was not a fixed up devotee at that time.
No, on tudi ni bil utemeljen bak.
I mean, that's at least the lila.
Takšno se je ta lila.
But also he attained Krishna's mercy. He had a direct darshan of the Supreme Personality. You know, it's full with such stories, or examples, I wanted to say. So please all come tomorrow. I consider this tomorrow the most important day in the lectures which I give in Ljubljana. I can't say. So, do you have any questions so far?
He never disregards his devotees.
Achyuta means Achyuta means fallen, and Achyuta means not fallen. So he never falls under the influence of the material nature. That's the name Achyuta. But the name you're looking for is Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotees. Who is thankful even for any little slujba.
But we see that many devotees like Haridas Thakur, and he was suffering so much, like Jesus Christ and Pandavas.
Have you all understood the question? Our Madhavis, you were a little far away. Yes? Now, this is a very interesting subject. The basic, The basis of this question is an understanding that when one serves God, one is living a successful, happy life because one gets the mercy of God.
No, v osnovi tega vprašanja je razumevanje, da če to služi Bogu, potem živi srečno in uspešno življenje.
But sometimes we see suffering in the life of a devotee.
Vendar včasih vidimo v življenju bhakte trpenje.
Isn't that a contradiction?
Ni to kontradikcija, nasprotje.
The thing is, no, that suffering is only apparent.
Ne, to trpenje je samo na videzno.
It is something external. See, we say a devotee should become free from bad karma.
And
that means, that is what we think, he should become happy. But happiness is also karma. The feeling of happiness is a material feeling, experienced by a material mind.
Občutek sreče, to je materialni občutek, ki ga izkušamo z materialnim umom.
And sometimes being totally dependent on material senses.
Včasih popolnoma odvisen od materialnih čutov.
It is like this, a devotee will get, is not totally free from karma.
Resnica je takšna, da bhakta ni popolnoma osvobojen karme.
In one sense. Because otherwise, this is the point of Sri Vishnupad, after a kirtan, we all would leave our bodies. Our body is a manifestation of karma. Parabdha karma, it's called, manifested karma. So to become, so a devotee, even in this world, sometimes he still experiences sufferings and also pleasures due to his past karma. There is a prayer by Lord Brahma in this regard. Atenukampam susumikshamana bunyana evatma kritam vipakam. That means that the person who accepts the devotee who accepts the miseries as being induced by his previous activities, by his previous karma. But who nevertheless, how do you say, worships you with body, mind and words. He becomes the rightful candidate for liberation from material existence and bhakti.
On postane pravični kandidat za za bhakti, za ljubezen.
Yes. So a devotee also, in other words, has his karma. But now comes a big but. Don't forget this but.
Bhakta tudi ima svoja karma, ampak se zdaj nekaj velik ampak.
Because he remembers Krishna and is in Krishna consciousness, that karma doesn't disturb him.
Ker se on spominja Krishna, ker je zavestno Krishna, da to karma ne vznemirja.
He experiences it in a different way.
On to izkuša drugače.
It is a source of happiness. Because his mind becomes drawn to Krishna. And there is also another point which is very important here. Krishna reduces his karma and directs it. So that when something comes, he knows
and understands it's a lesson. And he learns from it. And becomes happy in Krishna consciousness. Every devotee can tell you of this wonderful intervention of the Lord in his life. You get something, but it's the mercy of the Lord. And you know it. And to give you an example, I want to tell you a little story. Once there was a king who had a minister, and this minister used to say to everything which happened, that's Krishna's mercy. It so happened that the king one day cut his finger. And he went to the king minister and said, oh, so much pain. And the minister said, this is Krishna's milast. And the king was furious. You nonsense minister! Into the prison, I say. And he was so disturbed, he went for a hunt in the shumi. There are some gangsters caught him. Gangsters, you can say. Gangsteri, and they brought him into their leader, who was just preparing to make a human sacrifice to goddess Chandi. And he was taking his sword. The king was forced to kneel down. But then this leader saw some blood trickling from the finger. And he exclaimed, "You uncivilized persons! How can you bring me someone whose body is cut? He is not suitable for this human sacrifice." And he just chased the king into the forest, thinking that the wild animals would eat him. Totally shocked, the king finally managed to return to his palace. And immediately he freed the minister and told him all what happened. "See," said the minister, "it was Krishna's mercy that you cut in your finger." "Because otherwise you would have been killed now. Your head would have been cut off from the shoulders." "And see, it was also Krishna's milas that I was thrown in the prison, because otherwise I would have been forced to accompany you and they would have sacrificed me instead of you." See, the minister, when the king had thrown the minister into prison, he had answered, "Oh, toy Krishna milost." Yes, he had said this. And the king had become more angry. But now it was shown that the minister's vision was correct. He was a pure devotee.
And by his mercy, the king also became a devotee. So, yes, so especially in devotional service, this story is, you know, I want to make the point, especially in devotional service, the apparent suffering of a devotee is not suffering. It is just the reminder of his karma. But since he is in, connected with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, he doesn't experience it like this. Look at Haridas Thakur. The people were, you know, he was caned through 24 marketplaces. Brutally beaten. Usually a person would crash down after one marketplace, lose the consciousness. But not him. And then finally the guards told him, why don't you fall down? The Kazi will slaughter us. Our poor children. And then Haridas told him that, well, if I caused any inconvenience to you, I'm sorry. And he fell down. And then they wanted to move him and throw him into the Ganga. But it's described that they could, that 20 men, 50 men couldn't move him. Because he had attained, he was totally fixed in Krishna consciousness, and as a result, being linked up with the Supreme Heavy One, in God, he was immovable, just like the Mount Everest. Yes,
finally this state you know, subsided, and he was thrown into the Ganga, and then later found out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Končno je to njegovo stanje minilo. Potem so ga vrgli v Ganges in potem poznaj ga je našel Čitanje Mahaprabhu.
Mahaprabhu, he asked Mahaprabhu, why didn't I feel any pain?
In on je vprašal Mahaprabhuja, kako to, da nisem čutil nobene bolečine?
And Mahaprabhu turned around.
In Mahaprabhu se je obrnil.
And he saw the streams on his golden body.
In je videl te rane od palic na njegovem zlatem telesu.
Mahaprabhu had accepted the beating.
Mahaprabhu je sprejel to, to tepež.
To protect his devotee.
Da bi zaščitil svojega bhakta.
But apparently it it looked as if he was how do you say, suffering.
Teda na vides je on, samo na videz je on trpel.
And see, here's the greatness of Vaishnava philosophy.
Tu vidimo veličino vaishnavske filozofije.
Haridas Thakur didn't cry out, oh God, why have you left me? This is the famous words of Jesus on the cross.
Haridas Thakur ni vpil, ni zapil, oh Bog, zakaj si me zapustil? To so slavne Kristusove besede na križu.
I personally don't think he has said it, but they have just put it into his mouth, these correct, these writers.
Jaz osebno mislim, da on tega ni rekel, zato samo dali njemu v usta te zapisovalce.
A devotee is together with Krishna, always.
Bhakta je vedno skupaj s Krishna.
And Krishna protects him.
In Krishna ga ščiti.
So, a young devotee sometimes also suffers.
No, mladi bhakta včasih tudi trpi.
And this is, he accepts as Krishna's mercy.
In on to sprejme kot Krishnova milost.
As his reduced karma,
kot svojo zmanjšano karmo,
directed by Krishna,
ki jo Krishna usmerja.
And, uno momento, yasyaham anugrinami harisya shanai, something like this. It means that the Lord, you know, takes everything away for those who want to obtain his lotus feet when they are not fully decided to do this.
Drugimi besedami, Krishna oduzame vse svojim baknam, ki želijo doseči njegovo lotusovo stopala, ki pa niso popolnoma odločni, da bi to naredili.
It's a very interesting point. And I could talk for one more hour about it.
To je zelo zanimiva poanta in lahko bi še eno uro govoril o tem.
But just to I'm sorry, I want to answer many questions, but this is so important that this question comes up again and again that I take some time. I just want to conclude by telling you what Prabhupada once said, how a devotee reacts in suffering.
No, to je zelo važno vprašanje, zato sem na dolgo odgovoril. In zdaj bi želel še povedati, kaj še Prabhupada rekel na to.
He says, I should have suffered for the billions of lifetimes full of sin.
In on je rekel, jaz bi moral trpeti na milijarde milijen polnih greha.
But now Krishna has sent me this insignificant little suffering.
Ampak sedaj mi je Krishna poslal to neznatno majhno trpljenje.
And by it all these sinful reactions get neutralized.
In s tem trpljenjem to neutralizira vse grešne posledice.
And that's good.
In to je dobro.
Just like when you have... Anyways, I could talk so much. But that's enough. So, we have it's a little late. I'm sorry that I can't take any further questions at this time. Reserve your questions for this evening, please, if you do have any. But we should now get into the other activities of devotional service. Sorry that I took so long, but this is all the time devotees ask this question. I should be happy. I should only enjoy.
No, Bhakta vedno postavlja to vprašanje. Jaz moram biti srečen, moram biti uživati.
Should be free from all of my karma.
Moram biti osvobojen vse moje karme.
But no, it's goes like this.
Vendar pa je stvarnost takšna, kot sem povedal. In zdaj bomo končali. Če imate vprašanje, si jih prihranite za večer.
You can be free from suffering.
Vi se lahko osvobodite trpljenja.
But you still will experience a little bit reduced, strongly reduced karma.
Mogoste vseeno izkušali zmanjšeno karmo, močno zmanjšeno karmo.
You will never enjoy in this world.
V tem svetu nikoli ne boste uživali.
Not in material life and not in spiritual life.
Niti v materialnem življenju, niti v spiritualnem življenju.
The enjoyment is there in Krishna consciousness.
Uživanje obstaja v zavesti Krishna.
And to the degree you are in Krishna consciousness, you will be in great ecstasy.
In v tej stopni, koliko ste zavestni Krishne, toliko boste v veliki ekstazi.
And you won't even feel material sufferings.
In ne boste niti občutili materialnega trpljenja.
They are not there.
Sploh jih ni več.
Once Prabhupada was sick.
Nekoč je bil Prabhupada bolan.
And a photo was made.
In so naredili fotografijo.
And later the devotee said to Prabhupada, this photo, you look so something sick, a little disease seems to have inconvenienced you.
Bhakti smo pokazali sliko in rekli, neka bolezen te je vplivala na tebe, se vidi.
Prabhupada looked at the photo and said, no, I was on ecstasy.
Prabhupada je pogledal na fotografijo in rekel, ne, jaz sem bil v ekstazi.
Different. Good. So, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gaurinitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.